Greetings, Yankee fans. You're listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you're a new listener to the show, hello and welcome. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. I am your host, Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm a writer for Baseball Prospectus. You can follow me on Twitter at the Locked On Yankees account or at my personal account, StaceGotts. You can listen to and subscribe to Locked On Yankees on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, Player FM, and pretty much every podcast platform available. Say that five times fast. You can also listen to the show directly on our website, Locked On Yankees. And finally, you can play Locked On Yankees on your smart speakers by saying play podcast Locked On Yankees. As always, you can email questions or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. And I will do my best to answer those questions or respond to those comments, depending on what they are. On today's episode of Locked On Yankees, position players are arriving to camp. I saw pictures and videos of Stanton, Judge, Hicks, Tulowitzki. Hopefully Tulo didn't injure himself while he was walking. Hal Steinbrenner said some things this weekend. We'll get into that. CC Sabathia announced his retirement this weekend. We'll talk about what he said, what others said. We'll reveal the funniest quote from that press conference, which wasn't said by him. And as I promised on Friday, I'll be going in depth on James Paxton, the Yankees' newest starting pitcher. I'd like to apologize for the fact that I am all stuffy and sick. I don't know what's going on, if it's allergies or if I caught a cold this weekend and it's brewing. So that's fun. Anyway, let's start the show with position players arriving and Hal Steinbrenner's comments. Now, with the way this offseason has gone, the start of spring training seemed to be slightly tainted. And personally, I wasn't really heading into it with the usual enthusiasm that I've had in years past. You know, I put up a good front on social media and putting up pictures about how excited I am that actual baseball is starting, but this offseason has left a bad taste in my mouth. Just with the way things are going, with the obvious collusion that's going on, and players being stuck signing these measly one-year and two-year contracts because owners don't want to do long-term contracts. You know, the fact that it's February 18th and Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, Dallas Keuchel, and a bunch of other people are still not signed. The fact that Mike Moustakas had to sign another dinky contract that he actually would have made more money if he had signed the qualifying offer the Royals gave him in 2017 than the money he's made the past two seasons, which is just crazy, or what he's going to make this next season and last season. It's crazy. So, you know, things aren't as exciting as they should be until I saw some video, and then I was like, you know what? Okay. Maybe things will be better when actual baseball starts. Didi has been cleared to catch and throw, but he's not throwing all the way across the field. He's doing, you know, he's like tossing to second base. He's not going across his body yet. DJ LeMahieu, whose name I did say correctly, thank you, Baseball Reference, he's been working on some stuff. Miguel Andujar is working on some stuff. Luke Voit was at first base doing some picks, and it's just good to see that happening. Hal Steinbrenner was talking to Brian Hoke of MLB.com in a video this weekend. His explanation for why he didn't sign Machado and Harper, or why they didn't really seriously go after them, he said they didn't need an infielder or an outfielder. Which is weird, considering they signed Brett Gardner, they signed Troy Tulowitzki, and they signed DJ LeMahieu. After I saw Hal's explanation, I wanted to bash my head into a wall. I'm also surprised that I didn't see his nose growing during that video. Because, yeah, the reason why you didn't go after Machado or Harper in a serious way was because you already had the positions filled and not because you're a greedy jackass. Okay, Hal. Sure. Good story. And the fact that some people are looking at that video and thinking, oh, that's a good enough explanation. No, it's not. It is not. The Yankees should always be in on the big free agents, no matter how much they want to sign for. And again, I said this last week, Harper and Machado are 26 years old. If you're signing these guys to 8-year contracts that start when they're 26, it's not the same as when you sign someone to a 10-year contract at 31. It's not. Stop making it seem like it is. Common sense tells you that it's not. These guys will still be in their prime by the time these contracts end. Sure, guys slow down at 33, 34, but it's not the same as slowing down at 41. Damn it, Hal. I didn't want to be angry on this podcast, but I'm going to be angry because Rob Manfred said some stuff this weekend also, but I'm not going to get into it today. I want to stretch some of this out, so I'll be talking about it tomorrow because there's been plenty of player reaction to what the commissioner said, which was also a bunch of BS. Next up, we're going to talk about CeCe Sabathia and his retirement announcement. We'll have some quotes from him, from Hal, at least that quote wasn't annoying, and more. But first, as I mentioned on Friday, CeCe Sabathia had a press conference scheduled in which he was due to announce his retirement, and it happened. And I have a complaint right away. It wasn't broadcast live on the Yes Network. It was broadcast on Instagram Live and Facebook Live, and I think it was on maybe Yankees.com. But I'm an old, which is what the young kids refer to as an old person. And while I use both Facebook and Instagram, and I can go on the computer, I was sitting downstairs on Saturday watching my TV. I didn't have my laptop. I only had my phone. And when I accessed the Instagram live video on my phone, it resembled a video that looked like it was coming off a circa 2006 flip phone, which was pixelating every 5 seconds. And after about 30 seconds, I was out. So I didn't watch CeCe's press conference live and had to watch clips of it. So my question is, why didn't CeCe's announcement warrant a big to-do from Yes? They've done it for everyone else, and he's played longer than some of the guys that they've done it for, like Mark Teixeira. Was it the timing of the announcement? I don't get it. I feel like CeCe should have had better treatment from the Yankees network. Instead, they were showing, it was Thurman Munson's Yankeeography about his whole career, or it was the Yankeeography about when he passed away. But like all of this stuff has been shown on Yes for 5,000 times now in the past 17 years. So there's my gripe right off the bat. Ha, nice pun, even though CeCe's a pitcher. So anyway, CeCe said it was time to go, and that between his bum knee and the fact that he wanted to spend more time with his family, the decision to retire after 2019 was easy for him. He said that he looks forward to 2019 being a championship season for the Yankees. He said, "I'm going to give everything I have and leave it out on the field." He also said that all he ever wanted was for people to remember him as a good teammate. As I said on Friday, I remember him as being a good teammate. I hope there are more moments like that in 2019. I mean, I don't want our players to be thrown at, but, you know, I'd like to see more angry CeCe before he goes. He said that he didn't want to overstay his welcome, and he wanted to be effective and be able to go out and feel like he had a chance to help the team win. He says he feels like he's still able to do that. He said, "Being able to go out with my last year and just giving everything, hopefully that'll turn out good for me and not trying to save something for 2020 or years after that. This is it. This is the final year." Hal Steinbrenner about CeCe, he said, "CeCe has been a great ambassador for our game, and we are proud that he has represented our organization for the past decade. CeCe has always been a pillar in our clubhouse, and we look forward to him further cementing his impressive legacy this season and contributing to our championship goals." Derek Jeter and Jorge Posada gave statements about CeCe's career, along with CeCe's bud Andy Pettit, Joe Girardi, and AJ Burnett. Steve Kerr gave a statement. Fat Joe gave a statement. The mayor of Vallejo, California gave a statement. That's where CeCe's from. Jim Thome and Tiki Barber actually gave a statement. And LeBron James. How could I forget about LeBron James? I actually liked his statement. You can find them on the internet. I'm not going to read them all. Otherwise, this would be a 45-minute long podcast, and no one needs that. Sabathia said during the press conference that he'd look forward to reading all of the statements and that he hoped he wouldn't cry. AJ Burnett's statement actually made me laugh out loud, not because of the content. It was very nice. But he used a lot of exclamation points, which I think Elaine Bennis would have enjoyed. So as for CeCe and his last season, he is going to be kind of doing a Mariano Rivera thing, not as, you know, oh, I'm retiring, you must honor me, but that he's going to give back this summer. So Sabathia, when he makes his final visit to every American League city, and also San Francisco, because they're going to be playing out there, his Pitch Foundation, PITCCH, will host 52 members of the Boys and Girls Club in every city. And he's always stated that the Boys and Girls Club was instrumental in helping him reach the majors, like A-Rod. So that's cool. CeCe's wife, Amber, said, CeCe believes if it wasn't for the club, he wouldn't be here today. This last year, we really want to be impactful and give back. To be able to do that in every city, we feel like it's a great way for CeCe to leave his legacy. By the by, the correct hashtag for everyone to use on Twitter is legacy with two C's. You can also use respect with two C's, championship with two C's. Just go all out and put two C's. I'm actually thinking of changing my name to STACCEY for the 2019 season. Amber Sabathia decided that she would reveal something very funny during the press conference, though it wasn't that much of a revelation, and I don't understand why people think it was, because I always knew this. But she basically revealed to everyone that their son Carter was a World Series baby. But he wasn't the only 2009 World Series baby on the Yankees, because Mark Teixeira's youngest son was also a World Series baby. Him and Carter were born within days of each other in 2010. So that was my funny quote from the press conference. I thought that was funny that Amber did that. But I don't understand why people think it was so shocking, because we all knew that at the time when they were pregnant, how far along they were. We all deduced in our brains, oh, hey, they're both World Series babies. So good for them. I'm surprised there weren't more World Series babies, actually. On the Yankees, I'm kind of surprised, because there were a lot of people who could have had babies back then. Anyway, up next, we're discussing James Paxton, who was traded to the Yankees in November. But first, it's time for segment three, which means it's time for me to talk about James Paxton. So Paxton was traded to the Yankees in November, which feels like 10 years ago with how this offseason has gone. And I know some people who don't keep up on Yankees news as much as others, like me, are probably thinking, wait, they got James Paxton? Yes, that happened. It actually happened. It was a four-player trade. The Yankees sent three guys to Seattle for Paxton, including Justice Sheffield. At the time, some pundits were saying it was a great move for the Yankees because, you know, Paxton's a good pitcher. Others were questioning if they gave up too much for Paxton because he's 30 years old. He's really only had two good years. You know, last year he threw a career high 160 and one-third innings. And the year before he threw 24 and one-third innings fewer than that. And that was his previous high. He told Joe Sherman last week that he wants to get to the 200 inning range. He also understands that there's that whole bullpenning and leverage thing going around baseball, but he also wonders if relievers are being pushed too hard. You know, a lot of the relievers are being used two, three innings at a time, and Paxton wonders if these guys are going to run out of gas at the end of the season. Now, he also agrees, though, that the Yankees bullpen, as currently constructed with Chapman, Betances, Ottavino, Zach Britton, Chad Green, among others, is going to be really good. And he says that he doesn't want the rotation to not have to rely on those guys to close out close games. So, Paxton last season, he went 11-6 with a 3.76 ERA in 28 starts. 2017 was better. He went 12-5 with a 2.98 ERA. Now, the good thing about Paxton, he hasn't posted an ERA higher than 4 since his debut in 2013. Again, his biggest issue is the ability to stay healthy. He's only thrown more than 125 innings twice the last 2 years, as I cited earlier in this segment. He's also spent some time on the disabled list. That was last year, but he hasn't had major elbow or shoulder surgery. And his injury history includes getting hit with a line drive in his left forearm last season. He's had a forearm strain, a pectoral strain, and he's also had back issues. So, he also got hit with a line drive in 2016. I think it's because he's so big. He's a tall dude. So another goal for him is to stay healthy in 2019. Now, Severino is a good example of someone whose innings were able to bump up each year as a starter. But on the flip side, Severino is a lot younger than Paxton. As I said, Paxton is 30. Severino is still 23, 24. But if you look at his numbers, Severino threw 151 and one-third innings in 2016. That includes the majors and the minors. Then he went on to throw 193 and one-third in 2017. And he threw 191 and one-third in 2018. But there was a time that he was actually on pace to reach 200 and pass it, but he had that second half issue where he ran into a wall and his starts were shorter. So Paxton thinks that because his injury history that I just laid out doesn't include any ligament damage, he should be in good shape for this spring. He said, "I've learned how to make sure that those things don't happen again through exercise, and he's doing everything he can to prepare himself to be ready for an entire season." So that's good. Now, let's move on to his pitch mix, because this is interesting. He throws his four-seam fastball 64% of the time. He also gave up 1.29 home runs per 9 innings last season, which was his career worst. Now, that sounds like a scary proposition because he's heading into Yankee Stadium, which is far better for hitters, especially power hitters, far better than Safeco Field. So he may be better off throwing more of his cutter to kind of cut down on that issue. Now, the other thing about that is, if you recall from Sonny Gray's issues with the Yankees, they wanted him to throw his fastball less. And they do that with all of their pitchers. Now, if the Yankees allow Paxton to do that, it'll help him because his cutter is a good pitch, but he only threw it 14% of the time. And for a lot of pitchers, going from a fastball to a cutter is a downgrade, but it wouldn't be for Paxton. So maybe the Yankees will encourage him to use that more, and maybe that'll help him. And again, as I said, the Yankees don't really allow their pitchers to throw so many four-seam fastballs. Last season, Severino threw the highest percentage of four-seamers among the Yankees' returning starters, and he only threw 50%. Compared to Paxton's 64% last year. Now, they both throw the ball really hard. And according to pitch value, which ranges, it values a pitch usually from 20 to minus 20. And if you're zero, that's a good average. If you're above zero, that's a really good average. If you're close to 20, you're really good. Or your pitch is really good. Paxton's fastball had a 15.2 pitch value last season. Severino's had an 8. Now, I want to throw this in for context. Michael Pineda's fastball had a minus 20 pitch value in 2016. But you may think that because his fastball is so good, Paxton, that the Yankees would actually be hesitant to suggest a switch. But Luis Severino and the way he throws the ball shows that the Yankees are willing to encourage guys to use other pitches. It also stands to reason that Paxton might match the rest of the Yankees' rotation and lower that usage if the cutter works well and is used as a way, again, to cut down the home run problem. Because I remember when they first traded for Paxton, people were mentioning the home run issue and joking about Yankee Stadium's propensity for many home runs flying out of it. So if he's encouraged to use the cutter more, if it's as effective as it was when he was only using it at 14%, that will do a really good service for Paxton and for the rotation where he's not giving up so many home runs. We already have Tanaka giving up home runs. Severino gave up a number of home runs. We don't need Paxton to do the same. So that's it for today's episode of Locked On Yankees, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I've been your host, Stacey Gatsoulias. You can follow me on Twitter at the Locked On Yankees account or at my personal account, Stace Gots. Once again, you can email questions or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. You could subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, Player FM, all those platforms that are available on the interwebs. And if you could rate the podcast and spread the word about the podcast to your fellow Yankee fans and your fellow baseball fans, I would greatly appreciate it. Enjoy your evening, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.